I was talking with Brother Anthony on Sunday night, and we'd been at a meeting last week and shared the word with him and Jenny, and you know, just talking to him on Sunday, we're just saying how good it was, and because the services had been recorded, and he was just putting them down onto downloading them onto his laptop and ready to burn the discs. And he said it was quite strange because he got the recording and began to listen to them, not the services, but he began to listen to each of the recordings that he'd done. And there were quite a few on his little recorder. And he says that he thought it was quite funny because every time he started a message, he started the same. It was the same words right at the very beginning. And Jenny did the same. And I said, well, I said, you won't be surprised to know that I do the same. every time we start off, it seems to be the same words at the beginning. And you know, I just thought that was quite humorous, that we all, because Jenny always says hello everyone, and Anthony said he always, every message you listen to, that's just the thing, the way we were, because we always come together at the same time. And normally when I'm preaching on a Tuesday night, I say, well, tonight we're going to look at, or this morning we're going to look at this. And saying all that, we are going to turn in our Bibles tonight to Nehemiah. And I want to just, we looked at last week about the work of God. And a few weeks ago we were looking at Nehemiah and how he felt God's call upon his life to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Well, last week we looked at chapter 3, and chapter 3 catalogues for us, actually very nicely, it's everywhere where work was done on the wall. And it also shows us that there were many groups, in actual fact there were about 40 different groups working on this wall. Some were rebuilding it from scratch. Some were just repairing little parts that had been broken down. There were some working on the gates, some working on the towers, some working on redoing the governor's palace. There was work needed to be done, although it's not actually mentioned here in chapter 3, but there's work being done on the temple itself. So there was a lot of work going on, and it's quite, you see it quite clearly in chapter 3, and we're not going to go through it again tonight, but it shows the different groups. It starts off, in verse 1 of chapter 3, that the high priest, Eliashib, was with his brethren, the priests. They built the sheep gate, they consecrated it, they hung the doors. They built up as far as the Tower of the Hundred. Then they consecrated it. Then they went another stretch of the wall as far as the Tower of Hananel. And then it says, in verse 2, it says, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho were building. And you see that quite often through the, as you go through the verses of chapter 3, you see it says, next to them, next to this person, next to that person, next to this group, next to that. And what that shows is they was all working together. They weren't working on the same part of the wall, but there was about 40 different groups. They was all working at the same time. They had one purpose, one heart, to fulfill the vision that God had put on Nehemiah. And it was very evident, this is what we came to the conclusion last week, that the work of God is not a one-man operation. Now, God may raise up one person to oversee it or to lead it. And In churches, it might appear that the pastor or the minister or whoever God raises up to lead the church, it might appear that they are leading and in control, but when you actually dig down, if you start digging and start looking, you soon see that actually it's not just that one person, there are other people involved, and actually it's quite wide and quite broad. You know, there's, if you just look at our church, you know, we have musicians that play, we have people that sing. Now, there's, at the moment, there's a couple of us that preach and bring the word. You know, there's people that give testimony, people that do the communion, pass that round and share that. In some churches, although we don't do it in our church, some churches you find there's people that deal with the offerings, they take the offerings round, and there are people at the door, people that operate the projector. So you actually see, well, the work of the church isn't just one man. You actually start to see it comes quite wide, and obviously the bigger the church, the more people that are involved. And yes, there might be a specific leader that God raises up to oversee it or to lead it, but it's much more than that. And the Bible tells us that in one verse it says that we are laborers together with him. And one of the Bible words for this type of togetherness is unity. Well, it's not just a Bible word, it's a word that it's used in everyday. Unity. Now, considering what we looked at last week, you know, we saw that there were different types of people. You know, there were the politicians, there were the priesthood, there were merchants, there were people that were skilled workers in gold and silver and metalwork and woodwork, and people that were able to lay stones and build walls, people that could work in other areas. There was the perfumers. One of the verses in chapter 3 tells us about the people that were able to prepare the perfumes, and all these people that they came together and they worked to build. And they had unity of purpose. They were united in their purpose. They had they all pulled in the same direction. And one thing you see is that when everybody pulls in the same direction, we all work together, the job gets done. I think I quoted this last, it was on Thursday at Tuxford. The Bible, there's a verse in the Psalms. And actually tonight we're going to spend a lot of time looking away from Nehemiah. We're not going to look at Nehemiah itself, but in the Psalms, in Psalm 133, there's quite a well-known verse, which is often quoted when you're talking about unity. And it says here in Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell." It's good and it's pleasant when people dwell in unity, where they're united, where they're working together, where they have one purpose and one mind. It's good and pleasant. You know, and then the psalmist, or David, who actually wrote these words, he likens it to the anointing of the priesthood. He says, it's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. He says that's because that was a pleasant. It might not have felt pleasant to the person that all this oil running down their face, but it was because that was a sign of God's anointing. That was the anoint. That's where they were anointed, and that's good and pleasant. And then he says, well, it's like he says the dew of Hermon that comes down on the mountains of Zion. You know, I don't know whether you've woken up in the morning and you've gone out very early, and it's, particularly if it's been very hot, that time of the year. If it's been hot, you had a hot spell, and you go out early in the morning, you know, it's just so nice and refreshing. You've got the dew on the ground, and he says, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. He says, and he finishes this short psalm, he says, for there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And he likens all those things, he likens it to unity. He says, it's good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, it's where God's people are together, where they're united, that God blesses, God commands his blessing. Now, tonight perhaps we can just spend a few moments as we're thinking about unity. I want to look, because we're talking about the work of God. Now, we're looking at Nehemiah, but I want us to turn to the early church. Just after Jesus, he'd been crucified, he'd been raised to life again. He'd spent some time with the disciples, the apostles, and he's just ascended to his Father, and he's told his disciples to stay and wait in Jerusalem. He says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and all that's taken place, and when the Holy Spirit comes, the church is born. You know, God's work on earth through the church has begun. And in Acts chapter 1 and 2, really, I want us to, mainly chapter 2, we see the life of the early church. And we see that the early church were united in prayer. They came together for prayer. When they prayed, they were in one accord. They were united in purpose. They had a common purpose. Then we also see in Acts 2 that they were united in their benevolence. You know, they shared and had everything in common. They were united in fellowship. And they were united in the Spirit. So let's read a few verses. First we read from Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They were united in prayer. And it says here, it says, these all continued. This is the group, this is just before Pentecost, just before the day of Pentecost. Jesus had ascended to his Father. He told them to wait in Jerusalem, told them to wait for the promise. And it says, and while they were waiting, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They continued. They attended to. They were earnest. They were diligent to pray. And it wasn't just praying on their own. No, that they gathered, like we've done tonight. They gathered together and they prayed. United, the whole church. This wasn't a one-off thing in the life of the early church, because we see the same thing in chapter 4. In chapter 4, a notable miracle was done in chapter 3, where the man sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple was healed. And the religious leaders, the people that the high priests and the governors and the council of the Sanhedrin, as they were called, they hauled them up before a panel. And they were threatened that they weren't to teach or preach in this man's name. And it says in chapter 4, verse 24, it says, it starts off in verse 23, they let them go and they went back to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. It says, and when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it. You know, they actually says there, they raised their voice with one accord. They were united in prayer. Again, we see it a bit later on in when Peter's put in prison. It says, the church are united praying for him. So this is something that was part of the life of the church. You know, and any work of God needs people that pray. You know, we need to be united in prayer. Then the second thing we see in the life of the early church is that they were united in purpose. And now we're going to go to chapter 2 of Acts. You know, they... Well, start off, we've read the verse already from chapter 1. So they're waiting for the promise of the Father. They're waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they continued in prayer. You know, they had a purpose. They came together to wait. They had a purpose. They were waiting for the promise. They were together. They were in one accord. And actually, the Bible tells us that in chapter 2, verse 1, because it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all united in purpose. You know, they, as they'd done every day, they'd waited every day, praying every day. They came together every day. And then on the day of Pentecost, they did exactly as they'd done for the other previous days. They came together to pray. And then the Bible says, suddenly, you know, God sent the Holy Spirit. Waiting for the promise of the Father. You know, and then as it moves on from there, you see that they're united in purpose. You know, they go out, everywhere they go, they're witnessing for God, they're preaching. You know, when they meet someone that has a need, they minister to the need. That's why Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. You know, I'm always amazed at that chapter in the Bible, because the Bible says that he'd sat there a long while. And that means he'd sat there even while Jesus passed by. He'd sat there many years at that temple. Jesus had passed that man by quite a few times as they went up to the temple and back, come out of the temple. Yet, they had these men were united in purpose. You know, they wanted to serve God. You know, everyone they saw, you know, they just ministered to them. So Acts, well, we've read it, Acts 2:1, that they were all with one accord in one place. They had a purpose, united in purpose. Then we see at the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You know, they were united in their benevolence. Everything they had was shared amongst everyone else. No one said that this belongs to me or that belongs to Joe or Fred or anybody else. Everything was divided among, as anyone had. So If Peter had something that John needed, you know, it was made available. Now, I don't necessarily think that they brought it all and kept it all locked up in a little room and said, well, anybody can just come. I mean, they probably stayed in Peter's possession. You know, he probably still looked after it, but he was willing to allow whoever needed it to be able to use whatever he had. And things they didn't need, you know, there was just a generous spirit. You know, God was blessing. You know, and these people here were united. They were together. You know, the work of God needs people that can give into it. You know, you'll probably find that as a church here, the church probably owns very little. Because the guitars belong to the people that play them. The projector doesn't belong to the church. It belongs to somebody else. You know, the screen we use belongs to the center here. But things that we use in church, I know the microphones, not that we don't use the microphones so much in here, but when we was in corporate, the microphones, you know, didn't belong to the church, they belonged to others. The keyboards belonged to others and other things. And you find everything is just made available, it's brought in and it's allowed to be used. You know, we need people like that in the work of God who can give. People who can give money, who can support, and because you know, for places like this, we can't meet here for free. You know, it has to be paid for. You know, so people that are able to give into the work. People that might want to support and perhaps buy something like a marquee so they can have a tent mission. You know, a lot of things go on, and it needs people that can pay. It needs people that can pray, and it needs people that can pay and give. Then we see, because you see that's in the life of the early church. Then we see they were also the same verses we read. In verse 46 says they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, eating their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You know, they were united in their fellowship. They came together daily. They came together as often as they could. Now, maybe not all of them came every day, but I'm sure they came often. Every day something was going on. You know, they went to the temple, they prayed, they went round from house to house. They broke bread together, they prayed together, they had fellowship together, they ate together. You know, this was not a club. This was a way of life for them. This was their lifestyle. They were in fellowship. They had all things in common. You know, they met to pray, they met to study, they met to break bread. You know, they met to talk about what had been going on. You know, and other scriptures in the New Testament show us that people like Paul went back to his church and he shared what God had been doing on his mission trips. So there was unity in fellowship. And we can just read a couple of verses. If we go to chapter 5, verse 12. It says, through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. It's this statement here, with one accord, showing that they were in unity, they were united. In chapter 15, you read verse 25, this is a letter that the apostles sent to the church there, or to the group of Christians in Antioch. And part of their letter, they say, look, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, that we came together in one accord, that we send to you chosen men with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. These men that have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus. So there, the apostles are saying, look, says, we came together in one accord. We were together in prayer. You know, God spoke to us, and we felt really before God that we could send these notable men to you. We're sending them with Barnabas and with Saul. You know, and they're going to be a blessing to you. They're going to serve you. So God spoke to them and when they came together in fellowship. And then also we see from the very same verses there, through to verse 28. Goes on in, particularly in verse 20, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. They were united in the Spirit. They were together. You know, God's Spirit was the, if I can use it, their leadership, what they followed. You know, Peter didn't stand up and say, well, I'm the kingpin here. And, you know, you're going to do as I say. You know, they brought it to God, and God by the Spirit, you know, directed them. You know, they were united in the Spirit. The Spirit flowed in their midst. That's why God spoke to them. And I just like that statement there in verse 20. It says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Now, one thing we see when we're talking about unity, and we've got to finish with this, is that unity fosters involvement. And what do I mean by that? It means, well, people feel part of the work of God when we're all together. You know, it's like a... I remember watching a program on the telly quite a few years ago. It was, I don't know exactly how long ago it was, but there was a footballer on it. And it was, France had obviously won the World Cup at the time. And this was, if you know the footballer, is Frank Leboeuf. And I remember quite a few times he was being asked about, he says, but I won the World Cup. I won the World Cup. Didn't say France, because when you're a team, yes, everybody feels part of it, everybody's involved, and when the team win, everybody can say, well, I won. I did this. He didn't do it on his own, he did it as a part of a team, but everybody feels part of the work. And that's important in the church and in any work of God, that we pull together, because it's only when we're together then everybody feels involved, everybody feels the word is ownership. Everybody feels like they have an ownership on the work. And that's how the people of God felt when Nehemiah was directing this work. They owned that little bit of wall that they were working on. This was their function in the work of God, and they did it to the best of their ability. They did it, they made a good job of it. And of course it goes without saying that unity is essential with God. You know, our will and God's will must be united. We must be at one. We must be in line with each other. You know, only God can bless his work. Only God, what's it, the scripture says this, unless the Lord builds the house, our labour is in vain. You know, we can do all the work, but if God's not in it, then it's futile, it's pointless. Just want to read one scripture just to finish with tonight, and that's found in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll say one scripture, it's just two or three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 5. You know, there was a problem in the church in Corinth where people were saying, well, you know, and this is my translation of it, they were saying, well, really, I'm a bit better than you because I was saved when Paul preached. Another one said, well, you know, I follow Apollos because I was saved in his meetings. Somebody else says, well, Peter's the man, you know, because that's where I came to know, you know, when Peter preached. I was there on the day of Pentecost, you know, in Jerusalem. Peter preached that great sermon. I was one of those 3,000 that gave my heart. Then somebody said, well, no, I've followed Jesus all since he was on. And there was this problem, there was this division in the church in Corinth. And Paul writes to them and he says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? And here he shows, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. But we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Now we've got to remember, it's the work of God. It's not our ministry. It's not our work. It's not our church. This is God's work. You know, God should get the glory, should get the honor and the praise. It's not looking at, well, I look at this man, I look at that man, I look at this woman, I look at this person. Now we should be looking to God, because he's the one who's directing, if you like, the work. He's the one who's overseeing the work. It's his work. You know, like what Jesus said in the scriptures, and God's really blessed this, used this verse to bless me quite a lot. Recently, Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. He doesn't say, I will build your church. Or I'll build the church that this person's the pastor of, or that person's the pastor of, or this person's. He says, I will build my church. You know, as we said, we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. And God is the one who's building. So the work of God. Unity is where God commands his blessing. So if we want the blessing of God, let's be together. Work together. Pull together. Amen.